Welcome to the electrifying world of the Marketing AI Sparkcast, the go-to podcast for uncovering the revolutionary influence of artificial intelligence in the realm of marketing. Join Abhi Varma, a visionary in B2B marketing, as he guides you through the dynamic and ever-evolving landscape where technology meets creativity. Each episode promises to ignite your curiosity and inspire you to harness the formidable power of AI to redefine the future of marketing. Get ready to fuel your mind with innovative ideas and trailblazing strategies that will set your brand ablaze in the digital marketplace.
All right. Hello, all. Welcome to the Marketing AI Sparkcast. Today's episode is a little bit different than usual. So for those of you who listen to the podcast routinely, you realize that typically we will do use cases, or we'll do episodes pertaining to use cases for marketing teams, or dive into some specific functional areas. But today we are going back to basics. How can you, as an individual marketer, get started on your AI journey? We are tackling this question with none other than the delightful Ashley Gross. If you are even slightly involved in AI and marketing, you probably know who she is. But those of you who don't, Ashley is one of LinkedIn's top voices in AI. She is the founder of the Prompt Community. We'll learn more about the Prompt Community directly from Ashley in just a moment. She is a speaker. She's an educator. She is a lot of things. Ashley, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
No, you're welcome. It is our pleasure. So let's just dive in and start with a little bit about you. Maybe just tell us about your journey of where you started integrating AI into marketing, and how you ended up being a founder of the Prompt Community, and tell us what it is.
Absolutely. So I've been a marketer for 10 years. I started in corporations and then I found myself in startups. I'm scrappy. I like to hustle. I like getting things done. I'm very much a practitioner. And I found myself using generative AI in 2020, specifically Jasper back when it was called Jarvis. And I really just was using it to truly hack away at anything I could to increase productivity. I have never loved working long shifts. Everybody that works in startups knows that startup culture, you really just have to put your head down and work. So at the time I was working for a startup that was an AI product as well. So I was using AI to help market for AI, which was amazing. I loved it. And then flash forward to working at CommerceSouls, which is an enterprise e-commerce company. I was tasked with being an AI task force lead and creating the curriculum and rolling out generative AI to an enterprise-sized marketing department. And this was right before ChatGPT boomed, so there wasn't a lot of accessible education online about frameworks and IT policies and how to really start doing this. So kind of just rolled up my sleeves and started doing what I do best, which is research. And I failed and I got better at failing and I failed faster. And ultimately, that is what led me to creating the Prompt Community, which is an accessible AI education platform. It's a subscription base. So for $20 every single month, you get to join a community of AI enthusiasts. You get to try free tools out and hear from the founders themselves every single week. So before ever trying the tool, you get to hear about the mission, the ethics, everything that everyone should be asking the questions about when it comes to AI. You get to hear from the founders themselves. Then you try the tool for free. And then additionally, every single week, we have three events, which is anything from an Ask Me Anything session with an AI influencer to a live tutorial to just community members saying, like, this is the problem I'm dealing with in my business. And then we all get scrappy and form a use case together. So that's kind of a long-winded elevator pitch about me.
No, that was fantastic. And, you know, I've been following you on LinkedIn for a while, and I'm sure a lot of people, a lot of our listeners are too. I can tell you that the Prompt Community would be totally worth it. It's the best $20 you would invest. So please go online and sign up for Ashley's community. Highly recommend it.
Thank you.
So you bet. So Ashley, you have, I love your comment about you trying things and you failed and you tried it again. There's got to be a lot of learning in that. So what sort of prompted you to get into AI to begin with? I know you said that, you know, there was a lot of early use cases, but AI wasn't a thing, you know, before ChatGPT from a marketer standpoint. So what just started your journey?
Yes, it definitely wasn't a thing. And I 100% was not talking about it because in 2020, AI was very much even more taboo than it was now. I know that sounds impossible, but it was. So there was this like taboo notion that if you were using AI, you weren't really working. So I did not say anything to anyone about using AI. So when I was approached and asked if I was using AI, I genuinely thought I was getting fired. I was like, what? Yes, I'm using AI. Why? But I started using AI actually because it was the pandemic. I had severe cabin fever. A lot of us were locked up inside, not going anywhere. And I was second guessing myself on my email tones. And it was driving me insane the amount of time I was spending just like rereading my emails. I was like, there's got to be a better way. And so I ended up hearing about Jasper on a podcast and just heard about the founder, not even necessarily the tool, but I really liked the founder story. It's actually a really good like product marketing fit story. And I just tried the tool. They had their 7-day free trial. I fell in love with it. And I quickly, Jasper's a really good beginner tool because it allows you to already have those built-in enhancement prompts and certain features that you would have to DIY yourself if you were going that route. So I started with enhancing my emails, and then I started using it to take my content. I write a ton of content. I have 2 Twitter accounts, 2 Instagram accounts, a newsletter, 2 YouTube tutorials a week. I feel like I'm missing something in there. I think I might have missed LinkedIn. But I read a lot of content. And so having a good content matrix based off of what I know my audience likes and doesn't like and their learning preferences, and then putting that into AI and remixing it into plenty of other content. So I'm not net new creating that much content every single week. Those were the first use cases that I started trying out. I needed to see like the immediate ROI on the tool in order to be motivated to keep trying.
Nice. Yes, Ashley, you put out a lot of content and it's fantastic content. I have to admit that, you know, like I said, I've been following you for a while, so I love everything that you put out. And for those of you who've been following the podcast, in December last year, we had a podcast with Austin Distel, who was the first CMO for Jasper. Amazing guy, great story. So make sure to check that out. So Ashley, let's pivot a little bit and talk about from being a marketer to now you are a business in your own right. So that's heck of a leap. So talk a little bit about that and, you know, how you decided that it's time for you to make the leap.
So it is a leap and it's not a leap, because once you learn how to use AI to automate, it really is just like these doors open up and you're like, I can do anything. And that light bulb moment was really wonderful for me. But also to answer your question, that's why I ultimately decided to start the prompt community. There's such a brief moment in time that we have to get this right and make sure that there is mass adoption and there is representation and we're getting more voices into these conversations, because this technology is supposed to be for everyone. So if, you know, women are left out of the conversation, specifically women of color, like we, you know, we've seen in previous tech movements, then that tech isn't actually benefiting everyone. And so I just saw this need for inclusivity, accessibility, and really just user awareness and accountability. And it wasn't really, I didn't really have any hesitations or pause. It was just, I've been in technology for 10 years now. I've seen how fast technology can just skyrocket and only a certain amount of people benefit from it. And I didn't want that to happen this time.
Very cool. So one of the pieces of content that I've seen online where you talk about from being a marketer to being a business in 10 days. And that is a fascinating piece. Tell us all about it.
Yes, I did. I created this business in 10 days using AI. So where do I start? I have been, all the tools that I use to create this business in 10 days, I've been using. I do like to try new tools, but once I have a tool that works, I will not take that tech stack. I will not take that tool out of my tech stack unless there's another tool that will replace not only one of my tech stack tools, but like 3 of them. So I don't like to have a heavy tech stack just to have a heavy tech stack. So Notion, I use as my own personal Wikipedia. It really started as just kind of like this knowledge base for me. So when I was rolling out AI at my last company, at the enterprise company, I was just like writing use cases, what worked, what didn't work, how long, and I was just storing it all in Notion. And then they started coming out with their AI features that were in Notion specifically, and I could get from one data piece to the next, and it was just wonderful. So Notion is my own personal Wikipedia. I use it for all things productivity, qualitative and quantitative metric storing, all the things. So then from there, I guess you could call it like my CRM, I'm using Apollo and MailChimp. It is the best at segmenting, personalization, accurate emails. I've tested lots of tools when it comes to these things, and I'm very impressed with what they're doing. So, okay, that leads me to Read AI and Mem. So those are my note takers. I love Mem because it's just stored. So if I wanted to record calls and not have to manually go in and add someone to the meeting, like it is always on, it's always there. And then I really like Read because it sends extremely concise and punchy summary notes after every single meeting. So if we're talking right now and I had my note in here, I would say like my action item is XYZ. And then after this note or after this meeting, forgive me, it would send me an email summarizing it and say like, here's your action items, here's what you discussed. And I don't have to take any of those notes. I could just forward it to you. Amazing. For building out my content matrix, so like when I export my social media into a CSV and I add it into AI to aggregate my audience and see how they like to learn, what they don't like, what they dislike, I will use Copy AI. And then for remixing all of that content and actually seeing what's converting, I'll use Jasper. Yeah, I use Canva to create all of my graphics. They have like this magic AI studio built in, which is incredible. I love it. So I'll use ChatGPT anytime I need to do a task more than one time. So if I know that I have to do a task two or more times, I'll create my own GPT for it. And a great example of this is anytime I'm doing a speaking gig, podcast, any kind of promotional event, I have my own GPT for it. I'll upload over 60 Google Docs to it, and I'll have mass amounts of data go out to people saying like, here's where Ashley's talk track is. Here's her, like anybody could have access to me at any point in time without going to me directly and communicating, because I built a GPT that can answer all the questions about me as it pertains to my experience with generative AI specifically.
Amazing. Wow. So there is a AI Ashley out there somewhere.
There is. There's three actually, because I've done a tutorial to show people how to do the other two, but there's three. So I think the only one I'm missing is Zapier. I use it to automate and tie everything actually together and truly automate everything. I think that's it. I think that's my tech stack right there.
Okay. Wow. That's super impressive. And from the time you started your AI journey to the current tech stack that you're at, how long did it take you for that transition? Was that literally a 10-day period that you sort of played with it and started hooking things up together and developing workflows? Or was it, you know, a labor of love that took longer for you to sort of figure out what's the right configuration there?
I'm trying to think. No, all of those tools I was using before I did this. So it was a lot of, I would say like a year ago, I was testing the tools. So I have like a very specific process that I put in place when I'm testing AI tools. So I'll start a timer on my phone for 30 minutes and I'll have a very specific use case that I want that to solve. And within that 30 minutes, I will gauge how much like how likely I am to go back to that tool based on the progress that has given me, because 30 minutes to me is like, okay, I can explain using 30 minutes of my productivity and my time to test an AI tool that can possibly save me lots more time. After 30 minutes, if it's still a time suck, then I get rid of it and I don't try it again. So out of that whole tech stack, Apollo was the only one that I had to try out on my own. We have a very good free trial. I'm a sucker for AI tools with free trials or free features. There's so many of them now that it's silly to pay a ton of money for a tech stack unless you really know the value that it's giving. For a little while there, I was paying for Phantom Buster just because a lot of my audience is on LinkedIn and it's got over like 30 LinkedIn templates for automating work. So there's like those very rare times where I can actually justify spending money on AI tools just because there's so many. You can build your own. There's free ones. There's trials.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. There's so many options out there and there's like new AI tools for marketers popping up, like literally hundreds of these popping up, you know, every week. So totally get it. That was amazing. That was awesome. And I'm sure a lot of listeners will relate to that. If you're not doing AI, do not get overwhelmed. Pick your, you know, lowest hanging use case. Give that a go. Look at just start with one tool. Don't let, you know, the volume of tools that are coming at all of us sort of overwhelm you. So start off with one tool that is addressing your lowest hanging use case and give that a go.
Yes. And I will also say I followed the micro influencers I say micro because they don't have hundreds of thousands of followers, but I sought out specifically influential figures on social media that were, let's just say, like, I have three people that use Notion really, really well. So instead of me going and training myself on how to use Notion, I follow those three social media platforms for tips and tricks. And I kind of got like the cliff notes of that tool before ever trying it, because trying new tools takes so much time. You don't want to do it. You want to like buddy up and have like a pairing system of some kind.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I often recommend to people who are, to marketers who are interested in AI, there's so many ways of learning it, but my favorite way of learning it is content curators and influencers on LinkedIn, you being one of them, right? Where, you know, with folks who have tried it, experimented with it, had an opinion, and, you know, just learn from them. You don't have to figure out everything from scratch just for yourself. So absolutely agree with that, you know, with that philosophy for sure. So let's talk about AI literacy and education. You know, you are, those are core parts of what you do. In addition to the prompt community, you're also an instructor at Section, where you're educating, you know, MBA students and utilizing AI, both in terms of enhancing their careers or if they want to launch their own business. So for the marketers listening in, what would you say are the essential AI concepts that they need to grasp and start their start their AI journey in helping them effectively adopt AI?
This might sound like a strange one, but communication. So my ask to the audience would be, next time you have a one-on-one with a coworker, or you have, you know, a productivity session of some kind, ask them at the end of the session, just be like, you know, how did you think my communication was? What could I do to improve this experience next time? And it might sound silly, but when you're working with AI, people often get really frustrated. And what they don't want to acknowledge is that the error is on their side, because they're not communicating what they want appropriately. And they're not being patient or trying to find a use case that will give them that instant gratification as like a little motivator to keep going. So when I'm rolling out AI, I teach a generative AI hygiene course. And so basically what I go through is, whenever you're creating a prompt, what is the outcome that you want in that prompt? Like, I just want them to know what they're expecting before they ever try to use it. Maybe they don't need to put it into the tool, but they actually need to know. Otherwise, they have this loose expectation that they're going to put something into a computer, it's going to regurgitate something out, and it's going to magically fix all the problems. And that's not really what happens. What happens is, whatever you do really well, if you use AI to enhance it, it will enhance it. Whatever you're not doing well, AI will bring more visibility to that issue. So it's almost like that basic principle of, you have to be good at what you do first and then build on top of that foundation.
So garbage in, garbage out. Conversely, yes. You know, you want to make sure that the prompt or the input that you provide is valuable and is sort of indicative of what you expect back.
Absolutely. And have fun with it. I think a lot of people underestimate the fun aspect of it. I mean, one of the first things that I did for fun with AI is I said, here are the ingredients in my fridge. What recipes can I make? I really don't want to go to the grocery store. That did nothing for my job aspirations, right? Like, it did nothing for my career. What it did do was it gave me more time at the end of the day to play with my son instead of running to the grocery store to get dinner. So like, it gave me that instant gratification that I needed. I saw the value right away. And I was like, okay, wow. And it got me curious. And I always tell people this, I know it sounds cheesy, but curiosity is the backbone of innovation. So if you can just tap into that fun energy and get excited about being curious, you are halfway there with learning AI.
No, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. So when I speak to a lot of marketers, and for a lot of marketers, they've obviously heard of ChatGPT. They've started playing with it, some with a free version, some with a paid version. They're starting to get their hands dirty. And then the next sort of step, or the next evolution in their journey, is, I think I need some level of formal education. And then they start looking at online resources. There's lots of universities or lots of core places where you can get certified in terms of, you know, AI or AI and marketing specifically. Considering your own educational path, you have a ton of certifications. So I get this is a question from a lot of people where, you know, how important are certifications for marketers? There is no standard today when it comes to AI certifications. You could attend a 30-minute webinar and get a certificate based on that. There's obviously universities that provide something more formal and much more rigorous than just attending a 30-minute webinar. But I wanted to get your take on that in terms of advice for marketers. Do you think it's worthwhile taking a formal course and then getting certified in AI or various aspects of AI?
My answer is really simple. If they enjoy it, I would say yes. This kind of goes back to, you know, when we were in school, and I always had friends that they could show up the next day and it would be a test and they would not have to study and they would ace it. That was never, ever, ever me. I wish it was. I'm still jealous to this day that it's not, but I've just learned to accept it. So for me, whenever there is information, I turn into like a fiend. I need to learn it. I need to know it. I need to breathe it. But it's because when I enjoy something, I need to learn more about it. It's almost like an onion. I just have to keep peeling the layers back. It's just like a compulsory effect, if you will. I don't think that if they want to learn how to use AI to enhance their jobs, they have to necessarily go down the same route and take all those learnings and certifications. My biggest piece of advice would be just to know yourself and know how you like to learn. That was really challenging for me earlier on in my career to understand how I like to learn, because I wanted to be adaptable and learn however whoever was teaching me, right? Like I just kind of wanted to be the yes woman and be like, yes, this works for me. This is great. And in reality, oftentimes it didn't. And so specifically with AI, I attended my first MakeCon last year and I was an attendee. I went to every networking event. I listened to all the talks. I just took notes. I was a fly on the wall. And then this year I'm coming back as a speaker. And I don't think I would have had that confidence if I would have ever went last year in person and felt that inclusion and that motivation and that energy of a lot of people that have a shared passion getting together and enjoying it. I learned more in those 3 days than I've learned in any certification I've taken. And I've taken lots of certifications.
Right, right.
But it's because of my motivation. Like my internal motivation was social.
Yeah, no, that's a very valuable piece of advice that almost, you know, identify how you learn and how you learn best. There's so many AI communities out there. A lot of people like that versus a formalized, you know, course where you're just sort of watching on-demand videos and taking some sort of a quiz afterwards. So I know a lot of people prefer that, over, you know, the sort of one-on-one on-demand learning, self-paced learning method. So totally get it. Awesome. So in terms of resources for learning, I would love for you to get into a little bit about the prompt community. I know you have a newsletter called The Prompt. And I would love to know a little bit about that. What is your content pipeline? What could, if people subscribe to that, what's the type of stuff they would learn? And outside of that, what are your top recommendations for resources or tools for marketers that are eager to learn how they go about it?
Yes, I love this question because I am a former marketer. So you're tapping into like my superpowers. So what my pipeline looks like is there's a newsletter, there's a podcast, and then there's my social media content. So like that is my top of funnel. The bottom of funnel, the end goal is the community. Now, how they find the community, that doesn't matter, but because I've got such a large funnel that I know that they're coming in and they're being pulled in. And even though each asset serves a different purpose to some degree, they're still all the same audience with the same motivations that end up in my community. And so with the newsletter, it's quick wins. It's, you know, the newsletter sections are quick AI wins, AI tutorial of the week, tell your boss, right? So like I'm putting myself in the shoes of marketers that need to be scrappy. They've got 5 seconds to make an impression. Like I get that. I live that. I breathe that. And they really just want to know what can they do today in 5 minutes to advance their careers or give themselves more time or get a productivity hack. And that's what the newsletter is about. It's punchy. It's concise. I give away a lot. So I have a section where I give away, like this week's is a 50% discount to the AI World Summit. So there's lots of give where it's, if you're interested and you kind of want to get your toes wet, like that is the place to be, is that newsletter.
Nice. And do you refer to other resources for yourself or for education? I'd love for you to share those.
I have a warm spot for the Marketing AI Institute. They have a free Slack group. It's amazing. They are so good at neutralizing the news, I like to call it, because it's a very saturated market. There's lots of news and we don't have time, right? Like, marketers do not have time. So I don't like to pay attention in the news. I like to go to the Marketing AI Institute and they tell me what is happening in the news in a way that pertains to me and is relevant. So when I'm listening to their podcast, they even have them timestamp, which I think is so great for productivity and efficiency. So if I don't want to listen to the whole thing and I just want to go to the point that I'm interested in, they allow that. It's a very engaged community, 10 out of 10, can't say good enough things about it. I really like Ethan Mollick for the deep dives. His newsletter is just, it's great. It's bite-sized. It's digestible, even though what he gets into is very technical. It's just kind of like a little bit of a mix. So with the Marketing AI Institute, they'll get into the news and how to use it to navigate this wild, wacky world that we're in. And then Ethan Mollick talks about the progress of the technology and where it's going and what to look for and how it's going to disrupt. So you have like this nice little balance of information. There's also just LinkedIn. Like, there's so many people on LinkedIn that are using AI in very different ways. And so I rely heavily on LinkedIn. I take it extremely seriously. I kind of think of like my grandma and how she treats Facebook. Like, I add people that I want to see. I'm ringing the bell for notifications. I have Excel sheets mapped out for like which influencer talks about AI and like how they talk about it. Is it community? Is it business? Is it productivity hacks? I take my networking very seriously on LinkedIn, because I mean, where else are you going to learn that many free resources in one place? It's magic.
No, absolutely. In fact, it's funny that you mentioned the Marketing AI Institute and Ethan Mollick, because I like the way Paul in the Marketing AI Institute covers articles that come out, you know, by Ethan Mollick. So I like their coverage of Ethan Mollick. So they sort of break it down into simple terms. You don't have to get into the technical weeds. So I like that combination. So yeah, absolutely. Great resources. So for you, obviously, you know, like you said, there's a wealth of information with your newsletter, podcast, content on LinkedIn. It is definitely targeted towards the marketing practitioners, but I often even advise CMOs and marketing leaders to get their hands dirty a little bit, just to understand that conceptually. Do you feel marketing leaders and CMOs, do you feel, or I guess, how do you feel about that audience? Because, you know, they don't necessarily need to get their hands dirty, but do you think that's something that is valuable for them? Because a lot of content that we create with this podcast is really targeted towards that community. It's more about, you know, use case, ROI, how do you approach AI adoption in a specific functional area, you know, events, demand generation, content pipeline, those sort of things. But wanted to get your perspective for marketing leaders, CMOs and marketing leaders, in terms of how they can educate themselves and get their hands dirty.
Yes. And I love this question too, because I've seen this trend where I had a lot of marketing professionals that were the practitioners. They were in the trenches. They needed more time added to their day. And there's the last 2.5 months, I've really seen like an amp up in CMOs. And I would just say like executives in general in marketing. I think that there was just kind of like this switch that happened where, you know, CMOs get handed a lot of work. They're in charge of a lot of things. Some of them they're not even really supposed to be in charge of. I think that there's just like the marketing world and then everything else. And if it's marketing, it's the CMO's problem. But if it's everything else, then it's divided into like the product team and the sales team. And so I think that, you know, executives in the marketing world have always had an interest in AI. I just don't think that they had the bandwidth or the time, and they couldn't figure out a way to align the value of AI with their day-to-day work and processes. And now that there's more use cases and tutorials coming out where it actually shows them how they can get the benefits day-to-day, and they don't have to have this like digital transformation view, and it's not like this big undertaking they have to undergo. It can be done in incremental steps. It's causing them more comfort, because they can enjoy it without being directly responsible for it. And I think there's freedom in that.
Yeah. I often tell them it's the, inspect and adapt kind of mentality, where you've got to iterate. You inspect what's going on, try a little use case, adapt to it, inspect again, and sort of move up the value chain. So I often recommend CMOs and marketing executives to sort of get their hands dirty, because it's really hard for them to grasp how their teams can leverage AI without really doing that. You know, you can read all you want, but till the time you really get your hands dirty. And I'm not saying that you need to really end up, you know, becoming a practitioner, but I think it's really important for marketing leaders to really understand the various use cases that their teams could potentially leverage AI in. And it's really hard to do it without getting your hands dirty.
And even if you just take a layer back off of that even more and just think about, you know, we all have aspects of our jobs that we don't necessarily love. If the lowest hanging fruit that you accomplish by trying AI is removing one of those tasks that you don't like, and you get more joy brought back into your day and you enjoy your job a little bit more, isn't that worth trying AI out? You know, I think that's the question that people are starting to ask. Is it used to be like, well, why would we? And now it's, well, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. For those of you who are listening and you're not on the AI bandwagon just yet, you do not want to be a dinosaur. So I say, you know, buckle up, you know, join the train, educate yourself, sign up for the prompt newsletter and the prompt community, and you know, get on with the journey of, you know, AI adoption. So actually looking ahead, how do you see, I mean, AI is evolving at such a rapid pace. How do you see AI in marketing in the next 3 to 5 years? If you had this amazing Ashley AI crystal ball, what do you see in there, and how would you advise people to deal with that?
I see so many things. So the first thing that I see is that we've already started to see this a little bit with job descriptions. They've moved away from asking for, you know, an editor and a copywriter and a content creator to that person being all in one. Because if you know how to use AI tools, then why wouldn't you be able to do all three of those, right? And even though in that specific instance, it is going from like three jobs to one job, it still would be, you know, monetarily that same price, right? Because it's not like you're deducing anything from that. If anything, you should be making more money because you have the ability to do all those things with those AI tools. And you could probably teach other people to do it. So that's what I see as far as, you know, marketing specific positions. As far as marketing goes, it's already going to get so convoluted when it comes to SEO and keyword ranking and all of these things that used to be Excel sheets and heads down hours trying to spend time figuring out what works. You can automate this with AI now. So it's like, okay, well, if you can take time away from that and it can be automated with AI, you don't need to automate everything else with AI. Whatever makes you uniquely human and is best for your brand, that's where you can put your time. So I think there's going to be this huge undertaking of like a revamp org just globally that people have to start thinking about. Because if you don't have to invest your time into just, let's talk about SEO and keyword ranking, where are you going to put your time? Well, if you think about it, most of the time, customer marketing, there's always like a little bit of friction there because it takes so long and there's always a ridiculous process put in place that disallows everyone to move quickly when it comes to obtaining customer quotes. Well, with AI, you can plug in the customer that you want, the title that they want, and the quote that you're looking to get out of them, generate it 5 different times, and then send an email back to that original person. And now, instead of asking them for a quote, which requires them to have a response, brainstorm a quote, and then get back to you, which never happens in a day. I don't know about you, but it never happened to me in a day. Now you're sending them 5 quotes that took you 10 minutes to generate, and you're just asking them to pick one and approve it. You still have their word in writing. You're still getting a quote, but like 4 conversations through email are now 1 email.
Love it. Absolutely. I think the role and the configuration of marketing teams is certainly going to change, you know, moving forward. What do you see as emerging AI trends in terms of actual tech? Obviously, all the content generation stuff is sort of low-hanging fruit. That's where it all started. But do you see any emerging tech that you have been impressed with or intrigued by?
Oh, gosh. Impressed with, I would say anything at the intersection of mental health and AI. I think that has been such it's crazy the things that are happening there. It's remarkable. I have so many projects I want to give a shout out to, but I'm going to contain myself. But I would say as far as remarkable goes, there's obviously a huge uptick in chatbots. I would say that's something to look forward to because there's lots of companies, you know, tow truck companies that can't have somebody stationed the whole entire night to answer phone calls. If they implement a chatbot, then they can still, you know, I don't know, I'm making this up as I go, but there's businesses that will flourish because of it. I also see there being a huge opportunity for marketers though, because chatbots aren't necessarily personalized, right? Like it doesn't feel good when I go onto a website and the first thing that pops up is a little widget, no matter how cute it is. And it's like, hi, I'm your little chatbot. What can I do? Versus having the ability to call somebody and talk to someone and have my questions answered. So I see it as being extremely innovative and an opportunity, but I also see it being an opportunity for marketers to do what they do best. I mean, I would still take, as far as outbounds go, and I'm sure there's going to be someone that listens to this, and I hope they take my advice, and I hope they DM me with a cold email because I love going through these. I have gotten so many cold emails, and the ones that I still love to this day, I don't care what you're selling, I will always respond to someone who takes 5 seconds out of their day to take a video of themselves saying like, hi, Ashley, I'm so-and-so, and I'm coming to you from blah, blah, blah. I care. Like they took the time. They're trying to reach out to me. They're doing it on their own. It doesn't matter what you're selling. I will always respond. And so I think that the need for human connection and in-person events and just this rekindling, because I don't think ever since the pandemic happened, we've ever bounced back from it. I don't think that's going away. I think it's only going to ramp up.
Nice. No, I think it's, I was talking to somebody and they said, you know, I feel AI is making me more human. I kind of had to pause and think about that. I'm like, wow, that's so true. That's a different way of thinking about it. And I think it certainly has the potential. It's contrary to what you may think when you think about AI in the beginning, of course. But if AI is taking away all the grunt work and that sort of stuff, it really is freeing up time and opportunity for all of us to be more human. So love that. All right. So let's do a hypothetical. So I'm a marketer, and there's AI coming at me from all angles. I'm subscribed to a lot of AI marketing influencers. I learn about how to prompt, I learn about tools. You know, I follow the popular tools like, you know, Jasper and Copy and what have you. But what is your suggestion? What is the one thing that I could do to move my journey forward when it comes to AI adoption and marketing?
So I would say after your week, like let's just say like Thursday evening, Friday morning, afternoon, look at what you've done, like, and just really quickly go through your calendar and say like, here are the tasks that I worked on this week. Here are the blockers I ran into. Here's a win. And it does so many things by doing that. One, you're pausing to recognize all the work and contribution, because if you don't do that, sometimes it just feels like you're clocking in and you clock out and it's just this monotonous thing. So it's bringing a certain awareness to you, which you need for using generative AI. The second thing is go into your LLM of choice. I don't care what vendor it is. And just copy and paste in the tasks you did, the hurdles you faced, the accomplishments you made. Have it regenerate something. Send it to your boss and say, hey, hope you had a great week. Here's what I worked on. Here's the obstacles I faced. Can't wait to talk to you next week. That will get you so far in your career. Just one, like getting on a weekly basis with your manager, especially when they don't have to ask you to do it yourself. That's you taking initiative. That's you holding yourself accountable. And that's you testing a tool that helps you do all of those things. That will actually help you get better at generative AI, because you're becoming aware of what you're doing, where you're spending your time, and how to get really, really concise and put everything into like little bullets of information that you obtain.
Awesome. Love that. Love that. So home stretch here, before we wind up, any passing thoughts?
Any passing thoughts? There's so much noise in the AI field right now. I would say write down three things that you want to accomplish. They can be professionally or personally. Write them down on a sticky note and then go try and solve one of those three issues with AI. That's what I would say. And if you can see the benefits of it and you can see the ROI behind it, you will have more fun. You will get more excited. You will have that little light bulb moment and you'll just be more open. If you have a closed off mind to this technology and you're not trying, your opinion's not going to change. And so just try to tap into something that is very personal, very uniquely you, and use AI to enhance that.
Fantastic. Ashley, thank you very much for joining us today. Loved your thoughts. To our listeners, we hope you enjoyed today's discussion. Feel free to follow Ashley and me on LinkedIn. I hope all of Ashley's thoughts are going to motivate you guys to start your own AI adoption journey. We'd love to hear your thoughts and questions. Like I said, hit us up on LinkedIn, ask questions, engage. Thanks for listening and keep innovating. Ashley, thank you very much.
Thank you.